Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we feature a discussion with Travis Lund, the president and COO of Beau Rivage in Biloxi, Mississippi, just a few weeks before he was appointed to lead his property last year. Today's GGB podcast is brought to you by GLI, presenting its 19th annual Regulators Roundtable this March in Las Vegas. Visit GamingLabs.com for information and registration. Of talking, but everything is done. Travis Lund has climbed the ladder at MGM Resorts for the past several years, after stops at Mirage Resorts, Las Vegas Sands, and Hard Rock Las Vegas. Most recently, Lund was general manager of MGM Grand in Las Vegas and was able to get exposure to the many varied businesses that exist at an integrated resort. At Beau Rivage, Lund plans to put into action his understanding of non-gaming amenities and hotel operations. He talks about the people who have influenced his career and why he believes MGM Resorts is poised to become the most influential casino company in the industry. He spoke with me from his offices in the Beau Rivage in December. Work Orlando. If them arms grow. Travis Lund, thanks for joining us on the podcast today, and congratulations on being named one of the 25 people to watch in our January issue. It's a very great list this year, as it always is. We've been doing this for almost 20 years now, and the list of people who have been on it is pretty impressive. Just having you on it, I think, is going to make it even more impressive. So congratulations. Great. So let's talk about your new job. You've just arrived at the Beau Rivage in Mississippi. What's your position there, and are you excited about it?
Extremely excited about it. Pleased to share. I've been named the president and COO of the Beau Rivage. And boy, I can tell you, I've been here actually only for about a week. And one of the things, as I was going through the interview process and coming down here and traveling, was the reputation of this community, not only Beau Rivage, just even the surrounding area, of the hospitality that this area is known for. And I can tell you they've really taken great care of me and provided such a warm welcome. And I'm really enjoying my time here already, and really settling in and really excited about being part of the team.
Well, I can vouch for that, having spent a lot of time on the Gulf Coast when we founded the Southern Gaming Summit down there. The hospitality level is second to none, I think, in almost any casino jurisdiction. So I think you're really going to enjoy yourself there.
I love it. And I'm already learning. We have our wonderful resort, but there's so much amenities that we have here as well, too. So I haven't had a chance even to get over there yet, but I'm really looking forward. We have the golf course and obviously right on the ocean and all that surrounding area. So there's a lot to do here.
Sure.
I'm excited about it.
It's a great area, and that's going to be great for you. So let's talk about how you got into gaming. What were you doing when you got your first job in gaming?
So I have to give him a shout out, actually. Franz Kaleo is our general manager at our Mirage Resort in Las Vegas, and he was the director of hotel operations at the time at the Golden Nugget. And so that was my first ever job in Las Vegas, and 25 years ago is challenging, as you know, to find an opportunity to get your foot in the door. And so I was just really hungry, and Franz was gracious enough to give me that chance. And I loved working at that property. Actually, Golden Nugget was a great place to start as your first job. That was when Steve Wynn was the owner, and it would not be unusual. I was a front desk agent, was my first job. And it would not be unusual for Mr. Wynn to come behind the desk and shake hands with you and get to meet with him. We had a lot of great leadership, senior leadership at that property at the time as well. Gary Sheldon and Maurice Wooden were the executive leadership team. So that was a great first impression of getting into the business. If you're going to start, I was lucky to have a lot of great leaders at that property.
Well, I can vouch for that as a former employee of Mr. Wynn. I was a dealer in Atlantic City. He would come and sit at the Baccarat game when nobody was playing and talk to us like we were compatriots. So he did really set a great example for his leaders.
Yeah, that was so cool to me. I didn't know any better. I'm like, they're like, this is Mr. Wynn. I didn't was. I'm like, oh, okay. Because he really, you know, had a sort of a casual, just really down-to-earth approach about it, actually. So,
right.
But that was a fantastic product. We had a lot of fun events there at the time because of, obviously, his ownership of Shadow Creek. He often had a lot of really strong play there. We had a great premium product there. We had a lot of events for golfers because of Shadow Creek. So it wasn't unusual that you'd be checking in Phil Mickelson or something like that. So it was, for me, first taste of Las Vegas. It was a really exciting place to work and got to meet and see a lot of cool things there.
Sure. So you mentioned you were in the hotel side of the business. So when did you transition to gaming, the casino side?
So my career path, and I'll kind of try to make it short and sweet, I stayed on the hotel side for quite a bit, actually. I was really where I call it born and raised, or sort of grew up in the industry, and got a lot of my early management experience was at the Venetian and Palazzo. So spent a lot of time on the hotel side of the business there operationally. Doing everything from, you know, hotel ops, hotel management, you know, overnight management, all of that.
Sure.
Housekeeping operations, EVS, you name it. Did a lot of those different roles, and really stayed in that aspect of it at my time at Venetian Palazzo, because that was really the strength of that property, as you know. And we have there was a couple of million square feet of meeting space there, and that's where it really helped drive the success of that. And it was great for me to learn that side of the business, and but. Knowing that I really wanted to stay in Las Vegas long term, I did want to learn that casino side. And so my first foray into that was at the Hard Rock, actually, where a former leader, Paul Pusateri, was a senior vice president at Venetian, had started there as the chief operating officer and brought me over as the vice president of operations. So that's when I first started to get exposure to not only the hotel side, but the whole overall operation.
Sure.
But then my real foray and big break into it, obviously, was when I started with MGM Resorts about 6 years ago. Started at MGM Grand. Started there, actually, as vice president of hotel, but then worked up to general manager, which is sort of second in command there to Scott Sabella, who was the president at the time.
Right. Well, MGM is a great company to work for. You mentioned leadership in the Wynn organization, the leadership in MGM. It's pretty extraordinary too. Who are some of the people that kind of guided your career there?
You know, one of the first things when I first started there that I was so impressed by, because, you know, I was at a couple single properties, because even at my time at Golden Nugget, which was, I didn't have as much opportunity at the level I was at to sort of interact, but Venetian Palazzo, obviously, just a single property there in town. Hard Rock, just a single property in town. And so that was one of the things that I'm super impressed with still to this day at MGM Resorts is the connectivity, the collaboration across the entire organization. You really get access to a lot of different levels and leadership. And that was thrilling. When I first started, actually, as vice president of hotel, we went around the table, and Ann Hoff, who now currently is a president for the organization, was vice president of New York. Eric Fitzgerald was vice president of hotel at Cirque Circus, now president at, excuse me, vice president at Excalibur, now president at Circus. So immediately rubbing elbows with people who would go on to succeed with the organization. And I had actually conversations with both those individuals, as a matter of fact, about this role and that next step and opportunity. Those were, to name a few. Ann Hoff was very influential, got to work on a couple of different initiatives with her, influential on my career and helping me get exposure and be involved in, you know, critical initiatives that are moving the company forward, such as paid parking when we launched that in Las Vegas in that environment. Not an easy thing to do. And I were part of that team, and so I really got to work hand-in-hand with her, and that was an amazing experience. Obviously, directly at my resort, I had some fantastic leadership there. Of course, Scott, I'll always be indebted to him. He really provided me a lot of opportunity to continue to grow and challenge me and kept adding additional departments to my responsibility. It was sort of a new role that we created, actually, within our organization. The general manager role that I had there,
uh-huh.
Because we had so many properties, and you know, we actually, as you've seen and know, we just picked up Empire in New York City, and we have Northfield Casino, in Ohio. We just built Springfield and National Harbor. Probably more than most casino companies, we really had a need for president roles. And there's a big jump when you have some expertise like I did in hotel or maybe casino or whatever it may be. That's a big jump. And so this general manager role that we created in Las Vegas, there's five general managers that are over the luxury resorts, is that nice sort of bridge to that experience and give you an opportunity to sort of just pick up additional departments and responsibility over time so that then it's a sort of nice step into then taking having your own property someday. And so Scott was definitely that person for me and helped me along the way. But the team in general was great there because, you know, all of a sudden they're reporting to the president. They're like, I got to report to the general manager. Who's this guy? And but they were really open and receptive about it. And, you know, sometimes often in this business, you learn more from the people you work for, work for, and then they learn from you. And so that was definitely the case there. I learned an awfully lot from the senior leadership there. We also had Paul Zhang was there at the time when I started. He was our vice president of casino marketing. He's since been promoted. He's a senior vice president within our organization. He's housed out of Bellagio, but has some oversight on a lot of the overarching strategy of our casino business. And so I was very blessed to have that individual on property to really rub elbows with and learn the whole side of the casino business. He sees oversees a lot of our entertainment strategy, which is, you know, a huge part of what we do in MGM Resorts with obviously activating T-Mobile and Grand Garden Arena and Mandalay Bay Event Center and some of our other venues that we have now regionally as well.
Sure.
Paul's great at that side. So I could go on. I could give you a long list. Maybe I've been really fortunate on that front.
Yeah, absolutely. Today's GGB podcast is brought to you by GLI and its 19th annual North American Regulators Roundtable. In addition to lively panel discussions, GLI's roundtable features several workshops presented in intimate settings with firsthand knowledge on crucial topics, including cybersecurity, frameworks, esports, forensic investigations, GLI University Online, mobile in Class 2 gaming, modernization projects, and sports betting and event wagering. Visit GamingLabs.com for information and registration. Now back to our interview. I actually want to talk about, you know, some of the non-gaming amenities. Having worked at MGM Grand, you know, you've had a lot of exposure to the non-gaming amenities they have there, which are certainly second to none. And there are quite a few of them at Beau Rivage as well. What's your strategy when it comes to that kind of advancing those kind of revenue streams?
Yeah, we definitely think there's a lot of sites. So there's one thing that we think is a real opportunity for us is the legalization of sports betting. And so while I know that's betting, I'm going to explain what I mean by some of the non-game and how we see that that is sort of going to be an entry to for us into other spaces. So that brings a certain specific type of guest and a demographic. And we see that there'll probably be some evolution in some of the non-gaming amenities that we offer in terms of our retail space, in terms of the activation, that guest that's coming here. We know we have the golf course. We're certainly going to leverage that, maybe open that up for a little bit more cash business, perhaps, than we have in the past. But we think that's going to be a really great and terrific opportunity for us to start to really understand our restaurants and our retail and how that could be influenced by that guest, because it's really strong here. We've been just super pleased by the response to that. We have plans to actually build out an entire beautiful new sports book that'll be accompanied by a restaurant. So that'll be a wonderful atmosphere. But we see that we need to leverage that beyond just obviously the sporting and also have it help move some of our other businesses. Here, actually, what I think is interesting, there's a lot of conversation, and it's a little different from your Las Vegas market, where we do actually have a significant amount, a decent amount of rooms in this market. We have about 5,000 hotel rooms. And similar to the lesson that happened in Las Vegas many, many years ago is leveraging that convention business. And so there's been a recent, Mary probably knows the date better than I do, but there was a recent upgrade to our convention center here in town. We're in talks collectively as a city, as a tourism city, about understanding that opportunity. We think, while we obviously are a strong gaming community, We do think there's opportunity to diversify and bring some more of that tourism, whether that's through convention business. We do a decent amount, but we think there's some upside in that. And so that'll definitely be something that is higher on our radar, especially as now we have that opportunity for to share the business. We have a regional footprint here with National Harbor and obviously Detroit and Massachusetts and, of course, Las Vegas. And so there's a great opportunity to share some of that business with MGM Resorts and drive a little bit more of that here. So that's definitely something top of mind here.
Right. No question about that. And, of course, you didn't mention the baseball stadium across the street.
Right. My mind up in football, but yeah, that's been a great amenity for us and a great, terrific partnership with the city that we partnered to develop on that. We're actually really excited. We're just completing. It should near here. I think this week we're finishing the first of two connecting walkway bridges.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's super close proximity, from Las Vegas too, boy, when you have those walkway bridges, those sky bridges to get you back and forth, it can really be helpful. So we're actually really excited about that. That'll be complete, I think, this next week. That'll connect our property. It's not a direct connect, but it'll make it that much more convenient. But when you talk about it, and thank you for that, queuing me up on that, because that is one of the things I've already had conversations in my short time here, is that besides just baseball, we think there's some things we can do with that space. It's really, as you've seen and experienced, it's really a beautiful ballpark. And we think there's some opportunity to activate it in some different ways, whether that potentially could bring some entertainment, some outdoors, some festivals, some whatever it may be. We think there's some things to diversify that amenity.
Yeah, when I was down there last spring, I saw it and thought there's a lot of opportunity there to do other things than just baseball. So I'm glad you're thinking in that direction.
Yeah, it's so nice. And, we have the summer here for sure, like we had in Vegas.
Right.
But otherwise, I'm here right now in December, and I'm like, is this as bad as it gets? They're like, this is as bad as it gets, and it's beautiful. So
yeah.
There's a lot of time of year that we're going to be able to be outside, and it's going to be very comfortable. And right now, I would put something out there tomorrow. It's that nice, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, talk to me after you go through your first summer there, when the humidity starts climbing on your shoulders.
Yeah. I'm going to get back to you on that. I think everyone's really trying to scare me, because they're like, you haven't been here in August yet, have you? So they're making fun of me because I'm wearing some sports coats and some jackets still. They said, oh, August will get rid of those for you. So.
Right, exactly. So, let's go back to your MGM experience. You did a lot of different things at MGM. One of the interesting things you did was to start the Level Up gaming program in MGM Grand. I know it was aimed at millennials, and are you going to try to do some stuff like that in Mississippi that'll bring the younger generation in?
Not immediately. I haven't had that. I still obviously need to get to learn our guests and our demographic, but some in the early conversations, not as much upside on that. And truthfully, what we found at MGM Grand, what that ended up being was, the millennial gaming still has a little bit of development to happen, I believe, on some of just the systems themselves, right? And sort of making sure that we're keeping them engaged. So I still think we're in an infancy there. And so really what Level Up turned to at MGM Grand was, it's a wonderful spot, actually. It does very well. We get tremendous feedback from our guests at MGM Grand. It's very, very busy. Is we had a nice opportunity to kind of play off of, when we talk about that millennial, sort of that younger demographic that was going to the nightclub there at Hakkasan and some other things. And so I don't know if that necessarily plays here as strongly, but that's where we think our sports book might be able to, satisfy some of that sort of younger demographic that we think we can play into that. That's, we have a lot of terrific surrounding colleges, obviously, within driving distance here. LSU's not far away. Auburn's a stone's throw away, 45 minutes or so. And so I think that's where we see probably less of millennial gaming per se, but we think that's the way we can start to speak to a younger demographic, and then hopefully you cross them over and all of that. So that's going to be kind of more of our focus. And I think there's some, the environment-wise, you obviously experienced Level Up, where it's got sort of the video games, but then it also has some of the gaming. We think it's lot of TVs, a lot of things that we can do to activate that in sort of a similar fashion.
Yeah, I've been looking at some of the demographics of the sports bettors that will come out of the states where it's just become legal, and it seems to be attracting, you know, a younger demographic, which is exciting.
Yeah, I can tell you, and this is just from a visual, and it's a short visual, and obviously I'm going to, as the longer we have it, the longer we'll get obviously more solidified stats, but I can just tell you from an optics perspective, it's been great. I mean, we've had, especially the Saints fans down here, which I'm learning.
Yeah.
There are a lot of Saints fans. They travel hard. They travel as a squad, for sure. They're terrific. So when we have a game happening, oh, man, it's all ages, and you have that younger demographic, which is fantastic to see, and they're all flying their colors, and it gives it just a great environment. It's probably more, I think, because of that regional aspect. I mean, we've seen a little bit of that, what could happen with, with the Las Vegas Knights in Las Vegas and what a local sports team does for you.
Sure.
I've never seen that. I can tell you, having obviously the Saints and having that fandom here and having LSU fans here and Alabama fans here, Georgia fans, a lot of that SEC country, when we're on a Saturday and Sunday, it's awesome. It's packed. You can feel... everyone's flying their colors. I've seen the room divided halfway down the room already. You know, LSU on one half, you know, Georgia on the other half, and it just creates an awesome environment. So they're certainly there gaming and, you know, placing their bets on their favorite teams and things like that. But it's also a little bit more social because that, you know, you're in that region and that these are diehard fans that are coming in and enjoying that, which is a little bit different from some of our sportsbook fields that I've seen in Las Vegas. You're getting much more of that hometown pride and when the games are on, so it's been fun to see.
Yeah, no question. I think the Gulf Coast has so many opportunities down there to draw from so many different markets, so that's going to be a great learning experience for you. I know the demographics down there are pretty strong to begin with, so we do a little tweaking, and I think you're going to have a great success down there.
Thank you. Yeah, no, like anything, like I said, I was fortunate to start at MGM Grand, the thing that's impressed me, and we've got some incredible tenure here at this property. People that are really passionate, really care about the success of Beau Rivage. It's part of who they are, and so that goes for, you know, our executive team. I've got, you know, Brandon and Paul, and Brandon's our marketing. Paul oversees our CFO. These guys are talented, and they're always, you know, looking for those opportunities and pushing it forward, not resting on the laurels. And so that's just great. I'm joining a team, so I think I'm just going to try to come in and add to that momentum that we have, a lot of positive momentum, and see where we can take it.
I got my own way of praying, and
hope you enjoyed today's GGB podcast brought to you by GLI, staging its annual Regulators Roundtable this March in Las Vegas. Visit GamingLabs.com for information and registration. To learn more about Beau Rivage and Mississippi Gaming, visit GGBMagazine.com. To read all about the news and gaming each week, subscribe to GGB News at GGBNews.com. And to attract more players to your iGaming or sports betting websites, visit iGamingPlayer.com. We'll see you next week on the GGB podcast.